Let's turn now to Jesus in consumer culture. Here we go. In the past 20 years, Jesus can best be understood in the context of the developing consumer culture and the culture of celebrity in modern America. And central to both of those cultures is the centrally located, self-absorbed individual. That would be all of us. The self-absorbed, self-referential individual is, of course, the engine of consumer culture. We buy it. But the culture of celebrity is also fundamentally dependent on the consumer. The consumer as fan, F-A-N, that's you too, who lives vicariously through celebrity. I refer you to American Idol if you need proof. This focus on the self-absorbed individual is at the center of American religion as much as any other part of American culture. And all of these self-absorbed individuals, us, want to relate to Jesus in a very personal and even intimate way that would have been unthinkable even a few decades ago. And this is all captured perfectly in a song that I played for you at the beginning of the hour, for many of you, by George Jones and Tammy Wynette, Me and Jesus. We got our own thing going. We got it all worked out. And we don't need anyone to tell us what it's all about. I will post that on Blackboard. I refer you to it. It's a hoot. The key to consumer culture is the effort of commerce to appeal to all of us. You can't be successful unless you appeal to everybody. And that's produced in our culture a brand of Jesus for everyone. Let me share with you a sample of the different Jesuses that we can find today in contemporary American culture. Here is Too Cool Jesus. Don't you love those beads and that 70s hair? What is this all about? Jesus the Good Neighbor. Here's Jesus just being one of the guys. You plant the broccoli, you plant the spinach. Isn't that amazing? Sunday school pageant Jesus. In 1999, a Catholic magazine had a contest. What do you think Jesus looks like? And this is the one that won. Jesus of the people. What race is this person? Come on. Well, it's kind of black. Maybe, I don't know. What sex is it? Indeterminate? Is it male? Is it female? It's probably male. Who knows? Alrighty. And in 1994, gays finally got into the action. I told you they hadn't earlier in the 60s. But in the 90s, gay people finally make their claim on the Christian gospel. And they finally point out that Jesus never married. That Jesus surrounded himself with a group of men. And that he singled one of them out as the beloved apostle. And in the mid-90s, a man from Corpus Christi, a gay playwright named Terrence McNally, wrote a play called Corpus Christi. In Corpus Christi, Jesus is gay. All the disciples are gay. Everybody's gay. But the beloved apostle here is not John. Guess who he is, kiddos? It's not John. Who is he? Come on, he's Judas. And all they play all the roles. Here is Michael Hall as Mary. Isn't that cute? Here are the three wise men. Got sleighs. Judas and Joshua. Joshua is Jesus, of course. Here are the guys. Here they are. Joshua and Philip, who's a call boy. Here is Joshua and Judas in Gethsemane. Jesus in Gethsemane. Touchdown Jesus, too. Now, what is this all about? If you could have gays, you could also have super macho Jesus. Can anyone tell me where this is? Over Notre Dame Stadium. One morning in Graham, I went outside the motel, and here God had put this truck. I was just planning. Folks, I'm sorry, I'm only half serious. I mean, only half joking. I looked out, and here is this red truck. It's from Oklahoma, and its license plates say, Jesus. This introduced me to in-your-face Jesus, super macho Jesus. It's, of course, inevitably a Rambler. Here you go. And if that's not in-your-face masculine testosterone poisoned enough, how about Stephen Sawyer, the undefeated macho Jesus, right? You know, that's an does that guy look real macho to you? It's hard to get over that hair. You know what? You know who I think he looks like? You don't know who this guy is. Do you know Fabio? Do you really? No, you don't. Do you really know? How do you know who Fabio was? Good Lord. Hey, look here. The Prince of Passion instead of the Prince of Peace. Check the eyes, kids. All righty. And in the consumer culture, Jesus is sold, is commodified, just like any other product. Catalogs. Here's a brand. Jesus catalogs. We've seen this happen already. Here's everywhere. What decade do you think that's from? 70s. Hair will do, give it away every time. The ideal gift, one way. Jesus loves me. My heart belongs to Jesus. Isn't that cute? Right, get your crown of thorns. They're selling fast. Christian Outfitters, Jesus saves. And then finally, Jesus, he's the real thing. And then finally, Jesus himself becomes a consumer. This is for a computer company. I forget which one. Do you remember this commercial? It says, think different. Is it Apple? I don't remember which one it is. All right, which computer is Jesus going to use? What would Jesus drive? Right? And here, what would Jesus eat? And if Jesus can be commodified, he can be made, he can become the object of humor, can he not? Well, let's see. Here is Jesus shaves. I've got the mug right down there. And as a little boy in the 50s. When I finally got to Graham and went to the big church, First Baptist Church, Graham had a little youth choir, and all the little boys, do you know this song? We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. We said, Jesus shaves, Jesus shaves. We thought it was just so funny. Here it is, right in the consumer culture. What would Jesus do? This is a mouse pad. Look at the bling. Do you know that? You've seen this picture before. This is the Lermeta, Christ of the people. I brought more stuff. Jesus becomes an object of humor. Folks, at a time in which Muslim kids are rioting all over the world about people blaspheming the prophet, we all are just having a good old time laughing about Jesus, aren't we? Here's a wonderful card. This is a happy birthday to me. Merry Christmas to you. Here's my favorite. Get real, like Jesus would ever own a gun and vote Republican. Jesus tape. Jesus tape. Jesus tape. Jesus shaves. What wouldn't Jesus do? And all these mints, afternoon mints, Jesus pencil tops, and of course action figures. This one glides, I don't know why, but he glides. And this one, bobblehead Jesus, he will nod his head and forgive you of your sins. And just in case you didn't know it, Jesus speaks. Jesus loves you. But I'm his favorite. And then one day in Graham, I went to get ice. Kids, I don't have any idea where this comes from. Here's the ice company, Trainum Ice Company of Goree, Texas. And right in the middle, right under the Star of David, here is Jesus saves. Jesus saves ice. All righty. What the hell is going on? Somehow, in our time, we have lost our capacity for reverence for all. We have collapsed all distance between ourselves and divinity, or anything that would take us out of ourselves, or divert our attention. You know, if you have to have a ringtone interrupt my class, you couldn't do any better than Janis Joplin said, "Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?" It's consumer culture. You get it started, you can't stop it. But now, we don't want anything to distract us from our self-absorbed selves, right? Okay. Actually, you've been real good about cell phones. At a time when Jesus has been implicated in the consumer culture, he's also, of course, being captured by the culture of celebrity. Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar was worried about Jesus being consumed by his own celebrity. But as it turns out, the problem has been that celebrities, Christian celebrities, have been using him for their own ends, that he himself has become commodified. I refer, of course, to most spectacularly the 2004 movie, The Passion of the Christ. I don't show Passion of the Christ in this class. The Christian in me does not make his soul available to this movie. And I'm actually very serious. But this is good enough. All of a sudden, the evangelical Christian market, which had been a niche market just for Christians, looked like it could become a national and an international market. The success, and he made $250 million, but the success of this film would have been unthinkable were it not for Mel Gibson's celebrity and the controversy that his celebrity personality generated. At exactly the time that this film was made, another little Jesus film was made. It was called The Gospel According to John. It's a beautiful film. Beautiful, beautiful. No one noticed. Everyone was too busy fighting over whether or not Mel Gibson was an anti-Semite, whether or not he was a sadist. Protestants were too busy trying to figure out this very Catholic film with all of its violence on Jesus' body, its bloody focus on Jesus' body. Protestants now encountered this Catholic Jesus as body for the first time. And embracing this film, conservative Christians also allowed Mel Gibson to implicate them in the culture of violence. That's the other big three: consumer, celebrity, violence. In the same year, Anne Rice, she of vampire fame, got into the celebrity act, bless you, got into the celebrity act with Jesus. She abandoned Lestat, the vampire, and she published the first of a trilogy of books that will tell the life of Jesus. The trilogy will be called Christ the Lord. Wonderful book. The first volume was called Out of Egypt. It takes Jesus from his youth in Egypt through his seventh year in Nazareth. Anne Rice's Jesus is totally human. He is totally divine. And by the end of this book, when Jesus is only seven, he is beginning to understand that he is the Son of God. Now, like Martin Scorsese's Jesus, he has to figure that out himself with some help. But he's done it by the time he's seven. Now, has anyone read this book? It didn't get much press at all, but you wait. It's going to be a movie, and guess who's going to be Jesus? Cast it. Who with it? Who? Johnny Depp. Did you know that? That's exactly who she wants. We'll see. Okay. Oh, man. Well, I think that's great, actually. Yeah, she does. She does. But in the meantime, I sense that a moment is passing. For the past 6 years, there has been a focus, especially in American popular culture, that is simply without precedent in American history. But I think that may be ending. The nation seems to be wearying of prominent people who claim to speak in the name of Jesus and who tell others what Jesus would have them do. What are the dangers of identifying oneself with Jesus as closely as the president has? Is that if one begins to lose popularity and to fall into disrepute, you can cause Jesus to fall into disrepute with the American people. And I believe that we're beginning to see exactly that happen. Other prominent spokesmen have fallen, Ted Haggard, and more spectacularly, Mel Gibson himself. And all around me, I began to see an increasing interest in, of all things, unbelief. In a world grown weary of strident, crusading belief systems, folks are increasingly interested in agnosticism and atheism. Richard Dawkins, one of the world's leading scientists, has just published a book called The God Delusion, in which he argues that not only is belief in God not necessary for moral and ethical behavior, religion has been an active source of evil in much of world history. Strident atheism may simply be the predictable reaction to strident religious belief, but in any case, it is undoubtedly becoming more and more visible in our culture. Let me conclude by telling you what I did yesterday. I decided I had to go see the Nativity Story. Folks, bear with me. On the way there, I saw a bumper sticker. It said, "When fascism comes to America, it will come wrapped in the flag and bearing a cross." Now, folks, regardless of what you think about the truth of that statement, it is simply undeniably true that for this person, anyhow, religion in general, Christianity in general, and Jesus in particular have been brought into disrepute in the last 6 years by Christians. That's just a fact. But what about the movie? I went to see a Thursday matinee. Now, when The Passion of the Christ came out, you couldn't get tickets to anywhere. When I watched The Nativity yesterday, I saw it in the company of three middle-aged ladies and two Mexican-American grandmas. I was on, you know, five people. And what did I see? A simple, reverent story. Very high production values, good acting, lovely score. I loved it, actually. I very highly recommend it. Folks, I cried. It's wonderful. Go see it. But you know what? I can confidently predict it's going to be a complete flop. Won't make any money. No one has noticed. That moment, I think, is passing. You are the last class I'm going to teach Jesus to for a while. Jesus and I have had a good run in this course. But I am now about to begin to turn into my next lecture course, a seminar that I'm teaching right now on unbelief in American history. I hope that some of you are around to take it. Now, I leave you with this thought and with this song. We don't know if Jesus is coming or not, but your final exam is. So, be ye ready.
Sometimes are here, filling men's hearts with fear.
Freedom we
all hold dear, knowledge at stake.
Humbling a heart to God
saves from the chaff.